Welcome to another episode of Straight Talk and a Straight Jacket, the Mythological series, and we're here with Mother Earth, who has come and she's not very happy. And, well, why are you here? You've been here before, but we didn't recognize you. How come you're in the ivory tower, you're in a straight jacket? How did you get here?
Well, I came to Central Park here in New York, and I manifested here, and it's very rare when I actually choose a physical manifestation, and I manifest, and it only happens usually when I fail to communicate in other ways with people, and they don't seem to be getting the message. So this is like my last desperate attempt to talk with people. So I thought I would come to New York, the media capital of the world. One of the greatest things about this city and the most natural thing about this city, which is Central Park. It's beautiful staging, and it shows the respect that I would like people to feel about nature in general. Like, for example, Central Park, the Olmsted brothers who designed it, they study nature. They look at me and they say, nature is beautiful. And then they try to copy me. And I appreciate that. It's a compliment when people say, let's try to copy the best of nature. Let's make this beautiful and natural and wild in the middle of a city of 9 million people. I'm like impressed. Like this is a compliment. And this is the right way to start a relationship out. It's like with Mother Nature, if you want to give me flowers, give me Central Park. I'll take it. I don't want to pick and say, it's not perfect, it's not totally natural, but it's really an honor. It honors me, and that's what I'm looking for. Show me some respect, show me some honor. So I figured I could come here, I could meet with people who are sympathetic to the cause. Earth Day is coming, they're going to celebrate in New York City, and of course they're going to do it in Central Park. So I really thought, if I could come here and talk to people. And when I got here, I tried to interview some people on the media, thinking I could get onto television and radio and I could get my message out. And I was really disappointed when I called the media, and guess what? They called for psychiatric services and the police came down and interviewed me and determined that I had some mental issues, that I wasn't who I said I was. I said I was Mother Nature, that I was their landlord, and that I'm here not to collect the rent, but to collect some respect. Just the way I was talking, they said that they wanted to take me in for observation, and it was their opinion that I was maybe not who I said I was, and that I didn't have any ID. They asked me for a driver's license, and I didn't have anything. I said I didn't have a car, I didn't own a car, I don't drive. And so they said they had to take me in because I was acting suspicious and I had no identification, and they didn't believe that I was Mother Nature.
So here you are. Locked up with me in a straitjacket. We're both in straitjackets. Your biggest mistake was telling them the truth. Or was that, did you make that
I'm
up?
I'm not human. You know, humans lie all the time. I watch, I see what you do. You say one thing, you do another. You say you care, you act another way. So you're a bunch of liars. So I'm not used to dealing with people. I don't lie. I don't lie all the time like people do. And I'm not used to it. So I made a simple mistake. It could happen to anybody. That's to tell the truth.
Oh. Now, they put you in a straitjacket. Did you act up? Usually they don't put people in straitjackets.
Yeah, they said I was threatening them. When they said they were going to hold me here, I said, call the press and give me 3 pieces of paper and a pencil. I'm writing a press release. And you're going to be the laughingstock of New York, and I'll be out of here tomorrow. And they said I was threatening them. I'm just Mother Nature, and I wasn't raising a storm. I wasn't causing an earthquake. I wasn't threatening to destroy them as I could if I wanted to. I was just threatening to write a press release and to expose them for their abuse of their own Mother Nature.
Now, What is it that humans? Who are these humans? I'm an alien. I come from another planet. I'm not from this planet. That's why they put me in a straitjacket. And you're obviously an alien because you're Mother Nature, and they don't know what to do with you or me together. That's why we're here.
Well, I've been here all the time. I was here before the dinosaurs were here.
No, I mean here in the loony bins in the ivory tower.
Yeah, I know. And that's what's so sad and funny and weird about this whole situation. Like, I came here to save them in a last-ditch attempt from themselves. They're going to destroy themselves, and I'm not going to be able to help them. And they're going to do it in a way which is very disrespectful to me, because they're destroying the environment I provided them with, a beautiful place, a gorgeous planet, a Goldilocks planet. And they disrespect me, and they piss on me, they shit on me, they fill my oceans with plastic, they fill the air with carbon, they are creating greenhouse gases by their consumption of cows, and all the methane gas produced by all these animals, the pig shit, the cow shit, the chicken shit, it's everywhere. Even their fish farms are killing the rivers and causing all kinds of parasitic damage. So can't they learn to live in a sustainable fashion? Can't they develop lifestyle habits that are sustainable? Can't they develop energy sources that are not polluting and carbon-based? Can't they use their intelligence? They can be so smart and so creative at times. I had much greater expectations of them. They know how to behave, and I want them to behave as I know they can. I want them to be their better selves. And if they don't do this, it's going to be mass suicide, and I'll have to deal with listening to their screams and their cries and see their decaying bodies as they slowly collapse into an Armageddon of their own creation. It's terrible.
So what is it that bothers you the most?
Have you ever seen how beautiful a beach can be and on a beautiful summer day? And then you see the garbage that just litters the beach in waves. Instead of finding shells, you find garbage. Shells are beautiful. Garbage is not. It's so disrespectful. You know, even in places like a beautiful place like Costa Rica, and I admire the Costa Ricans for a lot of things. They're better in so many ways than so many other people. But even their concept of house cleaning, there was a sign on the bus. I see all these things. Birds report to me. All the birds, I speak their language, and they report to me the things I see. I have eyes everywhere throughout the world. I have eyes under the water. The fish, they talk to me. Everyone, I speak the universal language. The whales talk to me. And the whales, by 2050, they estimate it's going to have more plastic than fish in the ocean. How would you feel if you're a whale and you've got your mouth open, you're skimming the water, collecting plankton, and all you're getting is garbage that gets stuck in your gills? That's how they live, and they can't live on garbage. They need plankton. A whale is a beautiful thing. You think you're the only nice thing on the planet, that you're the only ones who deserve to live? You look at the elephants. You're massacring them. You're killing them. The rhinoceroses, these are like beautiful things. They have a right to live, and you're killing them all. What, for their tusks so you can get an erection? You can't find like a magic herb? You've got a huge pantry of magic herbs all around the world, out in Thailand, in Africa, in Peru, there are all kinds of elixirs, and you don't have to kill a rhino to get it up. I mean, this is ridiculous. You know what the value of an elephant's tusk is? And so people are committing genocide. They're wiping out entire species. And it's embarrassing. This is totally disrespectful to Mother Nature when you disregard the other life forms you share this room with. This is a house where nature lives. You have to respect nature and be a reflection of your better natures. That's what I came here to say to the people. And instead, what do? They lock me up here. And if I ever get out, now I'll have the stigma. Oh, it's the lady from the Nut House. She wants to speak on Channel 2. So do you think people are going to listen to me then?
It's a good question. You mentioned that people are guests and that they should act like a good guest.
Yes, that's very basic. And I wonder, like, how many of them missed basic training? Didn't your mother teach you what is a good guest? When you go to somebody's house, how you're expected to behave? You pick up your toys. You don't put crayons on the walls. You don't destroy the property. It's called respect. It's basic. And your mother should have taught you this. Every child should know this. And so mothers are either falling down on the job or like, why are you too busy? You're working three jobs. You're not home. Nobody's teaching the kids. What's the story? Why aren't you doing your job? Why are people misbehaving so badly? Why aren't they acting as guests of Mother Nature and treating the gifts I give them with some respect and show me some loving?
Do you prefer to be called Mother or Mother Nature?
You know, I don't care what you call me. I care about how you treat me.
Now, what do you say to all those people who are cutting up into your skin and burning forest fires and floods and building all over the place and building all these developments out, and the rivers are polluted? What do you say to them?
Well, what I say is stop with the fossil fuels. Find another source. There's no excuse for fossil fuel. Fossil fuel is destroying. Greenhouse gases are destroying it. You've got to wean yourself off this. And every single group, every industry has a lobbyist. And the lobbyists are crazy to continue their industry. The military-industrial complex here in your country demands conflict as a source of revenue. So you don't really seek peace. You invest in military. And what do you get for it when you could be using it to create sustainable energy sources? You could be using it to educate your people, make them smarter, make them recycle. I mean, look, there are a lot of people around the world. They're not like the greatest nation on the planet, but they do a much better job of recycling. You know, you claim to be the greatest and your president talks about how great you are and he's going to make America great again. The oil and gas industry working for the enemy of the earth. And what? And this is like so-called democracy? Is this what democracy looks like? And if it is, it's a sad joke. That's protecting me. It's a sad joke. And you people are behaving in a way that makes intelligent people around the world stand in awe, dumbfounded, with their mouths open, gaping, and wondering what happened to the Americans. What happened?
That's a good question. What happened?
We're not sure. We think democracy has been subverted, dislocating the lives of people and animals all around the world, and polar bears are going to starve to death, and animals around the world are going to die, and people are going to die because of these changes, and places that are going dry, that it's not raining, it's going to cause forest fires, it's going to cause floods, it's going to cause all kinds of things, and it could be stopped. You saw this coming. People were talking about this. They've been talking for decades about it, and you've got to act now. And that's why I'm here. That's why I came here, because I can't stand on the sidelines. I sent all kinds of warnings. I sent all kinds of messages to you. I sent storms and hurricanes and tornadoes and even earthquakes. Like, they're pumping out all the oil down in Oklahoma, and they're causing earthquakes as a result. So, you know, this is my last-ditch effort. Please do something. I can't stand it any longer. Behave. You are a guest of nature, Mother Nature, and she is getting pissed. What more do I have to say to you? Do I have to hit kicked you in the head. I'm tired of it. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired. Show me some respect.
What's it like to be you when things are good and going your way? And what's it like for you to see what things are happening now?
You know, it's really only been in the last 100 years that I'm getting bent out of shape, because you never did. You were never in so many numbers. Now there's what, 7 billion people on the planet? 100 years ago, it wasn't like that. And you weren't clean, and you weren't always the best, but you didn't do that kind of damage. You didn't threaten to destroy me. You didn't threaten, you know, it's a totally different world. So, like, I mean, I remember the days when, you know, nature was something that people celebrated. Europeans traveled to the Wild West and went to the parklands and made beautiful paintings of nature and showed it in all its beauty and realism. And now, what is it? It's like nature is everywhere under threat, and everywhere it is dirtied and sullied. And it's like finding those spots where nature is, you know, alone, even in the national parks. Acid rain, you could look at it on the surface, but in a lot of, even in the national parks, the animals that are missing on the food chain, the predator animals are gone. The, you know, finally people have started to make an effort to return the wolves, you know, save the buffaloes, save the nature. The animals are important. And we need these things. And, you know, this could be like a paradise. I give you something so beautiful, and I just want you to, you know, treat it with respect, maintain it, and show that you love it. Show me some loving by treating us kindly.
Well, I hear you. I feel you. I'm not sure that people can hear you, especially yeah. Now that you're in a, you're here in the, you know, I came here, I've been here for a while, and they put me in here in the straitjacket because I kept on telling them I was an alien, and that I was here to see what was going on, because I had heard all sorts of things about these people, and that they were, they had, at the same time they were doing amazing things to build whole worlds, and at the same time they were destroying whole worlds. And so I heard about it, and I came down, and I was just walking down the street, just kind of looking around, and all of a sudden they came up behind me and put a bag over my head and tied me up and put me in this straitjacket and stuck pins and needles in me, and they found out that I was not one of them. So they locked me up here in the ivory tower. I don't know how long I've been here. But whatever, and they probably think of you as an alien too.
No, I think they think I'm just a crazy woman.
Oh. Well, whatever they think you are, you're in this. We're in this together.
Well, couldn't you call some of your alien friends and have us break them out of here? I got to get out of this. I've got a job
they
to
took,
do.
They took my
your communicator.
My communicator. You know, so I don't know how they'll find me, and it's been a while.
Well, you know, I can call the birds, and they'll come through the bars on the windows, and we could send a message through the birds.
Right, but they don't, you know, my people are from another planet. Yeah. So that's going to, that's...
Well, you know what? It's like, it would be hard for me, like, we're on the 20th floor, and I can't even, like, there are no elephants in the neighborhood. I could call an elephant, you know, to break me out. There's only big enough to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they can't get a flying elephant, maybe, but I don't think they have those anymore.
No, I don't think so. So this is, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to stop talking about this, and I'm going to act like I'm just a housewife who's found herself, and they can't hold me for more than, I think it's 62 hours, and they're going to have to let me go. So I'm just going to act like I'm better, and I'm going to start. I'm going to start lying. I'm going to say I'm just, you know, a regular person. I'm not Mother Nature. I'm not going to tell the truth, and they'll let me out.
Well, I hope so. And maybe I don't know how to tell you to reach my people. They're, you know, they're on another planet.
Well, is there any way I can send them a message? You know, radio, telephone?
No, there's no.
I could give them your address.
No, without that communicator, I'm...
Can't you make something up? Like in the movie E.T., they used the old record player, and they set up an SOS, and can I make something for you?
No, this is much more complicated than
that. Radio waves travel everywhere, in space and everything.
Right, but this is... my people are too advanced and too backwards at the same time. They have their challenges, like all species.
So what are you going to do? How can you stop talking?
Well, right now I can't even get out of this.
Why can't you lie like I am going to do?
I've thought about that when you mentioned it. I can try, but I've been here so long they won't believe anything I say.
Can only hold you a maximum of 2 months.
Except
to let
that
you go.
I'm not human, and they know that by my blood type.
So they're holding you as an alien?
Yeah, as an alien.
And so they can hold you without charges?
They can hold me forever. And you know, our species, we don't die. So I don't know how long I'm going to be here.
No. Well, so you'll be watching the whole show. Well, you'll see if they don't listen to me and they kill themselves off, you'll be a free man when they all die.
Yeah, but I'm on the 20th floor, so how's that going to happen?
You'll have to bribe one of them. They take bribes, usually, in these places.
Oh, you're pretty knowledgeable about
this. I've been watching people. They're very, a lot of them are very corrupt. And they take bribes.
Oh.
Yeah, at least a percentage of them. So you need something to bribe them. Don't you have anything? I could bring you something. Usually they like cash or cigarettes.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, those are those smoking sticks. They stick in their mouth.
The guards smoke that.
Yeah, and they stick them in their mouth, and then they die from cancer, and they get very sick, emphysema, cancer, heart disease.
Oh.
But they still do it. I don't... You know, they're addicts. Makes them feel good. Nicotine and that kind of thing.
I have to think about that. I don't know.
So maybe I can try after I get out and I succeed. I have a lot of stored treasures in nature. And, you know, diamonds, gold, that kind of thing. Maybe I can get some and I can come and try to buy you out. And so,
oh, that's nice of you. That's,
you know,
very nice.
Yeah, I figure, I mean, you're the only one who I have to talk to, and you did keep me company, and you listened better than people. You know, humans sometimes are very poor listeners. I mean, I told you, you understand what I'm saying, right? I mean, it's not rocket science.
No, I think you're really the Mother Nature. I mean, the way you talk is very convincing. There was a guy... I heard about the story about 40 days and 40 nights.
Oh, yeah. That was Noah, and he was a great guy. And, you know, I was very unhappy, actually, at the time about the way people in those days were behaving. There was some really bad behavior, and they weren't behaving very well. And, I actually caused it to rain, but I promised them that I would never do that. I did it once. I said I would never do it again. But so I'm trying to control my temper.
Right. I notice you get angry sometimes about things that people are doing.
Yeah, and I can get violent too.
Oh, yeah, I noticed. I've seen some of your storms.
Yeah, I kill people. Sometimes large numbers of people.
Yeah, your floods. They have a television I watch sometimes.
Yeah.
But what can you do?
To try to talk some sense into these people.
Well, but look at you. You're in the loony bin.
Yeah. Well, I've got to learn to understand them better and learn to lie at the appropriate times. You have to learn when is it okay to tell the truth and when do you lie. So I'm going to lie until I get in front of the TV cameras, and then I'm going to tell the truth.
Oh.
When the camera's on and they can't switch to commercial.
Oh.
Yeah. Because sometimes, what if an energy company is supplying the commercials, you know, like Exxon? What if they're doing commercial endorsements and they give millions of dollars to CBS, and I'm telling them, like, to switch to... you know, an environmentally clean source and away from fossil fuels. Like, Exxon is not going to like that, so they might threaten to pull out their dollars. So that means the TV companies might switch and go to commercial when I start talking against the oil industry.
Wow. But what are you going to tell them?
I'm basically trying to tell them to, like, behave. They're a guest of nature, and that there are expectations about decent behavior, and that they have an obligation, a moral obligation to do this for me. And, you know, you should do it out of love, but I'll take moral obligation, you know, but please, just behave. And you know what good behavior is.
I don't know if they can. I mean, it seems like they're just like little kids in a...
No, there is, you know what, it's about education. I think the ones who are educated, they get it. And the other ones, I mean, look at the ones who are educated. They even risk their lives. They join environmental movements, organizations. They realize the fate of the earth is at stake. They go out to save the whale. They create their own armies. They even engage in, I'm not condoning terrorism, but they're even environmental terrorists.
But do you think they'll get your message? I don't know.
I might have to approach the environmentalists and even the environmentalist so-called terrorist groups and get me on a pirate radio or on a podcast, because I've got to get my message out. And if the big boys and the major media won't carry my message, I got to get it out into the blogosphere. I got to reach people.
Do you think they'll listen to you? They won't listen to me. I don't know why they'll listen to you. You're as alien as I am in their eyes.
Yeah, but, you know, there are a lot of them that are actually smart, intelligent, well-educated, and they realize that I'm telling them the truth, and their future and their children's futures are at stake. My message is about self-preservation. People have a survival instinct. They realize, like, their lives are at stake.
But how are you going to convince them that you're really Mother Nature?
I don't know if I should change my strategy and just pretend I'm a person. Just don't call myself Mother Nature. Just, like, have a pseudonym. Maybe I could call myself Rachel Carson II. You know, she died, and I could just say, I'm the returned, reincarnated Rachel Carson. I wrote The Silent Spring. It was a bestseller. It exposed a lot of environmental. A lot of people say I was one of the founders of the environmental movement. You know, people will accept a reincarnation of a famous person and coming back to continue the work I started. So I could come back as Rachel Carson II, back from the dead.
You know, these are very simple people. All they can think about is me, and getting more. And they really don't have any awareness. Many of them don't have any awareness of what they're doing. Look at them. 60% of them are obese.
Yeah, but you know that obesity is also related to the $4 billion subsidy for corn in agribusiness, and they've genetically modified the corn so that they don't need to use pesticides. They've actually created a pesticide that's in the hair of the corn. It's genetically modified, and when people eat this corn syrup, it actually makes them sick. And it has numerous negative consequences. And then it also makes them fat. You know, when you want to fatten up a hog, feed them some of this genetically modified corn, and you can make money. Feed them wheat and corn. It's not the old heirloom varieties, and it actually makes people fat. So it's really the corn and the wheat that are sugar, and then they have these products, the so-called dietary save calories, and these products actually make you fat. So there are all these fat people trying to lose weight, and they're actually making themselves fat by trying to lose weight. So it's a very funny situation, and the culprits are hidden, and they hide their corporate identities, and they do all these terrible things. It's got to be stopped.
I wish I could help you do that. I don't know what to say to you. It seems like you're here in this in a straitjacket with me, and we can't.
I have an idea. Why don't you help me out, and I'll help you. I'll come back with the ransom gold and silver, gold and diamonds, and I'll get you out of here so you could try to get home. And but you have to do something for me. When the guards come around, say, take this woman out of here. She's driving me crazy. She's so normal, so boring. Take her away.
Okay,
and then I'll say I came to my senses and I don't know why I'm here, and I'm a normal housewife, and I just want to go home to take care of my kids. My husband's probably looking for me and worried about me, and I'm not Mother Nature. I'm just a normal housewife from New Jersey, and I want to go home. So, you know, you just have to point out that I'm like totally normal. She's so normal, I can't stand her. Get her out of here.
But then what will happen?
They'll come around and see what the chaos is about. And you'll say, yeah, she thinks I'm crazy because I say I'm an alien, but she's so normal, I can't stand her. Just say something like that about me. And then they'll start looking at me and they'll say, you know, what happened and who are you? And I'll say, I don't know, I fell and I hit my head and I can't remember anything, but now I remember everything and I'm totally normal. I'm from New Jersey, I'm married, I have two kids, and I've got to get home. And the people will let me go, they'll feel sorry for me.
Oh, do you know how to reach the... But they're probably going to say, oh, you have a phone number, a contact that you're going to have to...
Yeah, I do. I know this guy, Dr. Doolittle. He's a friend of mine. He lives in New Jersey. I'm just going to pretend I'm his wife.
Oh.
Yeah, and they respect doctors.
Oh. Well, you only have one chance if it doesn't work.
I can call a bird right now, and I can call Dr. Doolittle through the bird. I can send a message because he understands bird language. Dr. Doolittle actually speaks all animals.
Really?
Yeah. So he's a friend of mine. We've known each other for years.
What kind of a doctor is he?
He's specializes in animal linguistics. But he also does veterinary work. He's very good at fixing animals and talking to them. He can say, where does it hurt? And he can communicate with them much more effectively. And he can tell them how to, you know, don't eat that white bread, because a lot of the birds, their feathers are going crooked because people go to the park and feed them the white bread. And then they get deficiencies and their feathers start going crooked and they can't fly. So that's why the sign says, please don't feed the birds.
Oh,
yeah, people don't know these. They're very basic mistakes. They're trying to do us a favor. They say the birds are cute. We want to help them. But it's a problem.
Okay, so you get out. Then you're going to go and find what?
I'm going to go to the environmental movement, and I'll talk directly to them, and I'll ask for their support. Because they're my natural, I want to talk to my base first, and I'll ask if I can get on a podcast. And I'll podcast my message because it's safer.
Yeah, and what's your message again?
Behave, for God's sake, please. Behave, you're the guest of nature. Your life is at stake. You're jeopardizing the entire ecosystem. Please, please, wake up. Fly right.
Uh-huh. You're going to have to be more convincing than that.
Well, you know. I'll give them the whole spiel I gave you.
Oh.
I'll be a little more impassioned. I'll go on for like 20 minutes or something.
Well, they're not going to give you that much time.
Podcasting, yeah.
Oh.
With the NBC, they'll give me 3 minutes.
If that much.
CBS, 3 minutes.
So what are you going to say if you got 3 minutes?
Well, that's always the question. What are you going to say if you only got 3 minutes?
To save the universe. To save the planet.
To save the planet. It's a tough job. 3 minutes.
You want to practice?
Okay. First of all, people only listen to other people. They won't listen to Mother Nature, so I can't say that. Otherwise, they'll lock me up again.
Right, yeah.
So
they're going to be watching you.
So I have to write a book, and then I have to go on podcasts, and then I have to go on radio shows, and then I get my 3 minutes on NBC or Fox News National, CBS, Channel 13. I'll try it for Channel 13. They always give you a little more time if it's something thoughtful.
Yeah. You're going to have to really figure out a compelling intro.
Yeah, and I also think I need to develop some superstar guest performers, like some musicians, some actors. Really?
Yeah.
Well.
But I don't know. I don't know if that's going to really...
Yeah, if you get star power, what else is there? In America, so you need star power. You know, celebrities. People in America, they listen to celebrities. Stars, celebrities. Being a Mother Nature, because they won't believe me.
Because they won't believe you and they'll lock you up again.
Yeah, so I can't say that.
So?
I'm beautiful. You know, so that counts for something. Everybody's always said I was beautiful.
Oh, well, of course. You're Mother Nature.
Yeah.
The mother of all...
I know, I've got that mojo and I'm very fertile. I just want to replicate myself. I need more people thinking like me and saying things like I say. People listen to large numbers of people, so I need some like demonstrations full of people chanting, "Save the Earth! Save the Earth!"
You got to be more creative than that.
We Shall Overcome, it's a classic. You know?
Mm. Well, let's think about that. I think we should do that.
Yeah, you think about it. And if I help you out, maybe you get a hold of some of your alien friends, maybe you can use some of that alien technology to help me out.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, something to move people beyond fossil fuels. My geothermal energy is like a great idea, and I wouldn't object in any way to it.
Oh. Well, maybe there's some things there we can work together. But let's go. Let me think about it. We're back with another episode of Mother Earth, part of Straight Talk in a Straight Jacket and our mythological series with Mither as Mother Nature. And looking at Mother Nature as being sensitive and too sensitive for her own good, and what it's like to have all these bombs and wars and people digging at her, and Agent Orange, and people cutting down the forest, people mining, and the nuclear bombs and the drilling. How does that feel to have all these people digging at you?
Yeah, and also just the disgust factor. You think I like watching these things? It's like having flesh like rubbed up against your skin, rotting corpses on the field, 50,000 people in a conflict, like in the Civil War. It's very brutal. So, I think it's important to anthropomorphize Mother Nature because it's human nature to be considerate to things that they can identify with as a person. And so people might respect a person and have manners toward a person, but they're not going to feel the same way to a stone or rock. It's important to actually give a spirit to present the possibility that what we define as inanimate objects are actually animated, that they actually have a spirit and a life. And there's actually scientific substantiation for this theory that even muons and quarks, subatomic particles that are called charmed particles, behave in ways that are quirky and idiosyncratic, almost as if they have personality. And there are some scientists who are actually hypothesizing even what we call inanimate objects. We don't see the movement of atoms. A rock looks solid to us, but in fact, that it has a spirit, or even water molecules, and about how water actually comes into contact and actually is exposed and has absorptive nature of water, and the fact that it actually can hold, in some way, like store memories of its exposure, things which we think that's ridiculous, water doesn't have a memory or rocks don't have feelings. What they're saying is, like, you could be totally wrong. And people, for a long time, there was us and there's the animals. We're not like the animals. And now scientists are actually saying, no, the animals are a lot like us. Elephants have memories, and elephants engage in mourning behavior when they run across the skull of a fellow elephant that they knew. There's emotional and even friendship. Like, you make friends with a great ape, ask Jane Goodall or anybody, you know, if you've had a pet, there's an emotional connection, and they do think and they do feel, they do have emotions. And we're willing slowly and grudgingly to, as humans, culture, to say a dog is not a dog. Like in a lot of third world countries, dogs are treated like dogs and people have expression, treat them like a dog. Here in America, people don't wonder, what are you talking about? That's my son you're talking about.
Right. People actually, I've had people say that they learned about love from a dog.
Absolutely.
The interesting thing, talking about dogs, is that maybe dogs have trained people. In the wild, the dog has to fight for its food and has a lot shorter life span. And in exchange, the dog wags its tail, it's excited to see you, and it has a cushy life, and it lives longer, and it gets fed and pampered. And all it has to do is jump up and down and be excited to see you. And who gets excited to see you?
To all the people who love me, and I don't know where to begin. There's a long list.
There's a long
yeah,
list.
You're my only insultant.
Right. But now, you mentioned about the anthropomorphizing.
Yeah, so I think this is really important, because what I'm saying is that, like, people treated a lot of things like shit. I'm talking people treat animals like animals. They treat whales like a source of blubber.
If we look at nature, the concept that people have of nature is that nature is the enemy to be conquered.
Yeah.
And if we understand that, then we can understand why Mother Nature is so upset, because people are oblivious to their consequences. They don't see that when you pollute a river, you can't drink from that river ever again.
Yeah, like putting mercury into the rivers as a result of gold mining in the Amazon. How do the indigenous people feel? They're going to drink mercury in the river. The fish are going to have mercury in them.
Same thing with oil in the Amazon. And imagine oil excavation, and they have all of these oil ponds. And 500,000 or 1 million birds that are flying think that they're
lakes. It's water and land right in it.
Right.
And die.
And die.
Right. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Half a million.
It was probably more than that. But the point in reference is that nature is the enemy. You, as Mother Nature, is the enemy. And when you come to understand that, then maybe you'll have a different perspective.
The Indians in the Amazon actually have... in Ecuador in particular, where they believe they were the center of the world, the navel of the world, and they tell a mythological story about two brothers, and the one who misbehaved was pushed out of the garden, and he was sent far to the north. And they're basically talking about Europeans, the exiled brothers, and they said it was because he didn't have any concept of how to relate to nature. And that he was very clever, but very heartless and unfeeling. And the conquistadors were the return of that brother, and that brother had still not learned. And to this day, there continues to be this dissonance in Western culture, this disrespect for nature. And it's even in the Bible, in the creation story in Genesis, and God made man and gave him dominion over the earth. Dominion over the earth.
You, as Mother Nature, what do you think of that?
I don't like that at all. Who likes to be dominated and to have dominion over the earth? Now I've got a dominating husband who's going to take care of me how he sees fit and screw me when he feels like it and beat me when he feels like it. that's not the way I'd like the book to be written. I'd like a love story. What about love me? What if they said, and God made man and told him to love the garden I have given you, love the earth which I have made for you, love.
But look at man himself. He doesn't love anything because he's incapable of loving, because he looks at things as what they could do for him.
Yeah, I think they're so much superior to those barbarians who talk about, you know, the pantheon of the gods and all the spirits and everything and their relationship to nature. And we've supplanted it with a theology which is brutal. It's brutal to nature. It's exploitive.
Nature is the enemy. And when we come to understand that, we are the enemy to ourselves often. Look at all the wars, the violence, the fear, the poverty, all this stuff.
It comes down to survival, you know, like everybody's got an argument, whether it's a scientific argument based on the evolution of, you know, Darwin's postulating, and it comes down to the survival of the fittest, and it's a dog-eat-dog world. Nature is brutal. It's eat or be eaten, that's life. And, you know, you can either be a killer or you can die. I'd rather be a killer. And that's what Donald Trump's father told him. He says, you know, you either kill or you die. And I want you to be killers. That's what his father taught him. And you got to be ruthless in business, and you want to be a winner, not a loser, because losers die. It becomes, you. If you love your kids, you teach them survival skills. So you don't want them to be losers, suckers. You want them to be winners, and you want them to be aggressive and strong. And that's the real world. That's the world we live in. It's a dog-eat-dog world. And that's what I'm teaching my kids, because I care about them.
Now, if you look at nature and the indigenous people, their relationship to the world they live in and nature is not a hostile...
No, they even when they eat a deer and they kill a deer, they say thank you to the great spirit of the deer for this gift and for allowing us to live. You don't even see people saying grace over, you know, their hamburger that, you know, they're eating. It's not an apple. It was a cow. It was a living thing. There's so much lack of gratitude and awareness. It's embarrassing.
And then think about all the wars that happen. Man and its egos have created this whole revolving door, this treadmill of people killing each other with such horrendous consequences to nature. Take, for example, all of these nuclear tests and nuclear blasts.
Yeah, in the Polynesian Islands, underground, all kinds of things. But then there were people like the Rainbow Warrior who would send their boat right into the nuclear test zone. The French would have to stop their tests because of the Rainbow Warrior who was doing this on purpose and risking their lives. And so it wasn't just because it was a crime against nature. Can you imagine, like, even when you're doing, you say, oh, it's out in the atolls or whatever, and it's like, how do you think a fish or a whale got, like, incredibly sensitive of hearing? How do you think it sounds when an atomic bomb goes off over the water or in the water?
And all these echoes and reverberations.
Yeah,
and
it would drive like people crazy. And even the nuclear subs, they're using a new sonar that's a really strong ping that is strong, that it really hurts, drive dolphins and whales like crazy. And then they commit suicide. They beach themselves. People were wondering, why are dolphins doing this? And they were disoriented, and they were by the sound. The Navy knew this, and they continued to practice it, and people had to, like, protest, and lots of people wrote in, hundreds of thousands of people protested. You've got uncaring people, and you've got caring people, and what's the difference?
This has been a mythological story and straight talk in a straight jacket and beyond. Thank you.